Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Oh, what happened?
No, what happened?
Boycott.
Are you yelling boycott?
Boycott!
It's a Wednesday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5. WCMF, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, boycott, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
It is 33 degrees right now. Going to get up into 40. And
it's gorgeous.
Yeah. How about this? Friday, right. It's a high of 40, ooh, and it's also supposed to snow.
Oh.
So we got that going for us.
So is that like the highs like overnight and
probably.
Then it like plummets?
I'll let you know Thursday, right. Tomorrow, when I look at that thing. Here's the thing. I don't even look at the forecast until after we do the gonna, when you're okay. Not boycotting, you know.
Yeah.
The gonna. All right, we have to talk about a story that's gone viral over the last couple of days.
What happened?
Well, it's Girl Scout cookie season across America.
Ooh, sure.
Really,
big day.
Yeah, really exciting. Mm. You know how I feel about my Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. The lengths I will go when
you
I run
and
out.
You and Kimmy.
My wife, unfortunately, my daughter had a sleepover during February break. She allowed the girls to eat all my Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah, those are gone pretty quick.
So I went.
There's not that many in there.
Here's what really pissed me off. They just took the cookies out of the box.
Well, how else do you eat them?
Well, no, I'm saying they left the boxes behind. So
oh,
I keep them.
What a tease.
I keep them in, like, a bucket. The box is in this big old bucket in my dining room.
Wait, you have a
cookie bucket?
Bucket full of boxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. It's a huge bucket. Mm. So on Sunday, I'm like, all right, it's cookie time. I go over. All of the boxes empty.
So they're just sitting there.
Empty boxes. All five of the boxes of cookies that I was out.
Like locusts.
Of my mind. So, I started getting online to try and find where I could find more Girl Scout cookies. Mm. And that's when we come across, Kimmy, I don't know if you've seen this story. It's gone viral.
I don't know.
About a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
A bunch of concerned parent groups. If you're not watching.
Concerned?
Concerned parent groups. I'm doing the quotation fingers on the live stream there.
About cookies?
Girl Scout cookies specifically said that they tested these cookies, and they found that the cookies tested positive for heavy metals and herbicide, and that if you allow yourself or your children to eat Girl Scout cookies, you are going to cause them all kinds of problems. So this like swept like wildfire throughout mommy influencer blogs and you know
Rock
Facebook
moms.
Pages. Exactly. Like, watch out. Do not let your kid eat a Girl Scout cookie. They're going to grow a flipper out of the side of their head. So scientists then decided to look into the claim.
So now that we have to test the cookie.
Well, yes. I mean, look, that is a pretty significant.
Yeah, but it sounds
made
up.
Well, I was going to say, where did the testing happen?
It was, again, some of these parent groups took the cookies and they tested them independently and they found these things. So here's the thing. You say it sounds made up.
Well, yeah, when I hear heavy metals, like there's like plutonium in the goddamn cookie.
Is plutonium a heavy metal?
It's one of the heaviest.
Can we Google it?
They opened up for Tesla.
We've been plutonium talking.
By the way, everybody under 30 thinks you're talking about the car company. I want you to know that right now. So it turns out these parents were not wrong. The cookies did test positive.
But is it like such a trace like everything's got it?
You nailed it.
Yeah.
So these heavy metals are naturally occurring heavy metals in the ingredients that the cookies are made from. And according to this study done by independent research scientists, the average child would have to eat 9,000 cookies in one day to even approach the harmful levels of these things that are found in the cookies.
So they wouldn't even reach these levels till June.
It says per day, idiot. They go further to talk about how even some fruits and vegetables have the same levels of these heavy metals. They just happen when you have things in the ground.
All right. So it's no big deal.
It's nothing to worry about. It's nothing to worry about, according to these independent scientists. And look, I'm not your mom. You do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. That being said, the concerned parent groups then shifted, because once that study came out, they said, yeah, okay, fine.
I think you're like,
but do you know how bad these cookies are?
Well, they got sugar in them.
I am looking now.
It's a cookie.
I'm looking now at a list of all of the, I guess, health facts, like what you'd see on the side of the box.
The nutritional.
Yeah, thank you, yes, for cookies. And if you are a Girl Scout cookie person, I'm sorry to do this to you, right? But the information is now there. Caramel Delight, Samoas, whatever you call them.
They're probably the heaviest.
The coconut ones.
Yeah. Okay.
They are. A serving size of two cookies.
Two cookies.
Yeah, don't
two
look.
Cookies
it's
ain't
always,
doing
it's business. Always two cookies. Always.
That's a serving. Yeah.
140 calories, 6 grams of fat, 5 grams of saturated fat.
What I call the Oreo standard.
Well, that doesn't sound bad. 160 calories?
5 grams of fat,
yeah,
saturated
and
fat.
They're small cookies.
They're that big, man.
What's the sugar?
You never eat just two.
Okay, look, why are you such a bitch?
Because the sugar will kill you.
12 grams of sugar.
That's bad.
In two cookies. Yeah, but they're delicious. Mm. All right, something's happening that I want to talk about. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263, because we're talking about Girl Scout cookies, but it's not just Girl Scout cookies. Mm. It seems there is an awful lot of food shaming going on.
Always.
Food shaming in the unhealthiness of
yes.
it all?
Yes, yeah. Yes. They'll find like whatever the flavor of the week is that people get excited about. The Shamrock Shake,
sure.
Something that comes out of Dairy Queen, right? And then all of a sudden you'll see 15 articles about here's what's in it and it's bad for you and this is what happens if you eat 5 of them. And like everybody knows.
Mm. Yeah.
Everybody is well aware that all of these things are bad for you.
Yes, they are.
Right? But, can you let people who want to enjoy them just enjoy them?
We can.
Like, there's not a single person that's going to drink a Shamrock Shake a week and be like, wait a minute.
But you should enjoy it if that's what you want to do. And as a former fat guy, when people would tell me, like my wives would tell me, don't eat that. You have to learn, if you want to be a good fat guy, you have to eat above the noise.
Okay.
Just tune it out and keep on munching.
Put that... T-shirt would crush.
Eat above the noise.
Keep on munching. Yeah.
Keep on munching.
No, but there's two different kinds of folks. I want to. Well, I guess there's three, right? There's the folks that eat clean all the time. The bitchy Tommy Mulays, as we like to say. There's the fat guys that we once were, where I don't care what you tell me, it's delicious. I'm going to eat it, right? But there's that middle group, the average person who they know it's not good for them.
Right.
But once these stories start showing up, they're going to stop doing it because they feel bad about themselves, right? And look, I get...
They get scared straight.
Yes, exactly.
For a little while.
Well, but that's just it, right? Because you're going to go eat something else, which is also delicious, which is also going to be just as bad for you. The world's a scary place right now.
It's very scary.
Very scary place.
Yeah.
And everybody's got stresses all the time from 1,000 different things.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you take away the little bit of joy that is the 15 minutes
a cookie
that you get to drink a Shamrock Shake a week or the 7 Girl Scout cookies you're going to sit and eat watching, you know, The Office reruns tonight.
Mm.
Why you got to hurt people? They know. It's not a shock.
I know.
You know what I mean? Nobody's eating Girl Scout cookies trying to cut weight for wrestling sectionals. For God's sakes, man. It's just such a dick move.
It is.
Shut up. You, especially.
What do I do?
You're a human label.
No, he's not, because he just makes it up.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, but I'm pretty close even on my makeups.
You claimed that one chicken wing was 800 calories.
Yeah, and that was up from 500 from a couple of other things I said.
You are this guy.
Yeah.
You are 100% this guy.
Well, all things in moderation.
No, that is what we're talking about. Right. You, anytime...
And even moderation shows up, and you still shame.
Well, it's hard to moderate one chicken wing when it's 800 calories.
It's not.
That's a meal.
It's not.
It is in Cuba.
It's not 800.
That's a meal.
800 calories.
Yeah, then
Cuban
you got to go
wing.
Cut the sugar cane.
Okay.
Which you should also lay off.
Like, I just, like, maybe the reason things are so frustrating right now and people are getting so angry, I get that.
Because everybody has access to everything and then everybody can just view their thoughts.
No, but I mean, yes, you're right. And there's lots of things that go into it. But I think some part of it is we're being shamed out of the things that we enjoy doing, like the tiniest, littlest joys of breathing and being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But that's the way it's always been. Like, you could not sit down when my parents came from that generation of the Depression. Mm-hmm. You could not sit down with them and eat a meal without them explaining to you how lucky you were to have this food.
Okay.
And what we didn't have.
Okay.
Even though my old man lied because he was a rich kid during the Depression. My mother grew up poor. Like, so poor, when she started telling you about her life, you started laughing because you couldn't believe this actually happened. But his fat ass was eating pork chops and eggs. But, like, they all lied about it. So they just made you feel, guilty having comfort.
Well, but you were a spoiled kid, so I'm fine with what he was doing. But even there, it's the opposite of what we're talking about here.
Not really, because you can't enjoy yourself.
Well, but your father...
They're almost telling you to enjoy
Thank
it.
You.
No, but they're saying you better enjoy it and you better appreciate it, but instead of just like, just let me eat.
I know, I can understand why that would be annoying, but I would say that like you...
It still makes
still
you miserable.
Eat, but you're still going to eat the food and enjoy it.
But you're
it.
Miserable.
All right, that ruined it for you to that...
Like, it ruined it to me because I did gain a lot of weight. But,
yeah. I mean, you didn't stop eating the food.
Look, man.
It's still a shame.
I feel, I
do. You remember the kids in Africa?
Depending on who you are.
Always been Africa.
Well, no, I thought it was China for you guys during communist China McCarthy time.
No, my father didn't know no China.
My father don't know no
my
China.
My father ate at a Chinese restaurant. They got a lot of food. They got egg rolls.
My favorite Rivers, Arkansas song is My Father Don't Know No China.
Papa don't know no China.
Oh, God, no.
But man, he sure enjoys mama's vagina. But Africa was the big one.
Okay.
Because it was UNICEF.
Yeah. Collecting the pennies and everything. Don't eat the pennies, even though it's one of my choices.
Yes.
252 WCMF. We're talking about this story that's like blown up on social media the last couple of weeks. A couple of concerned parent groups took Girl Scout cookies and they tested their ingredients. And they found they tested positive for heavy metals and herbicides. And they freaked out and said, do not let your kids eat these Girl Scout cookies. You're going to kill them. There's going to be a flipper coming out of their head. They're going to start walking only in circles. So scientists, independent scientists, decided to get these cookies and do the same test. And what they found is, yes, they have these heavy metals in them, but they're naturally occurring. And they say the average American child would have to eat 9,000 Girl Scout cookies in a day to approach the harmful level of pesticides.
So that would have been you and your brother.
Well, I could probably, I'm not kidding.
I could see you two getting into a cookie eating contest in your bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'm being sincere when
just
I say
just socks
this.
And underwear and just shoveling.
If we made it a contest, if there was a prize at the end of the day, if I got up at 6 in the morning, I think I could eat 9,000 Girl Scout cookies.
9,000.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't.
We're not that big.
Yeah. No.
And if you pace yourself.
Yes.
I mean,
you'd be miserable by the end of the day.
I'm not saying I would enjoy it.
How many boxes would that be?
All right,
how many Girl Scout cookies are there usually in one box?
All right, so there's different for, each one is different. Let's do it this way.
Okay.
If I get up at 6 in the morning
and
I go to bed at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay, let's say a box holds 40 cookies.
Well, we don't need the box right now.
All right.
So let's say 16 hours in a day.
Okay.
So multiply. You got your calculator ready?
I got to sneeze.
Right, here we go with math.
All right.
her body doesn't want to do math so much, she almost sneezed. All right.
Okay.
So multiply 16 hours times 60 minutes. Thank you.
So we're breaking it down. How many cookies a minute?
How many cookies a minute I would need to eat?
You'd have to eat 960.
Wait a minute?
No, that's minute.
You said 16 by times 60.
So that's 960.
Yep.
So we're at 960 minutes. I would need to eat 9,000 cookies. So how many cookies would I need to eat a minute for 16 hours straight to hit 9,000?
So do I divide?
We've hit an impasse.
Okay, so
that's 100 cookies.
9,000 divided by 960.
Yeah, I think that's just under 1,000 cookies. 100 cookies a minute.
A minute, which means you would have
to
eat more than one a second.
Wait, 9.3 cookies a minute? Okay, we have this up again. How are we so bad?
So it sounds like you would have to eat more than one cookie a second.
No.
To hit how many? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you'd have to eat nine. You'd essentially have to eat just over 9 cookies in a minute.
9 cookies a minute. So every 5 seconds?
You'd have to eat a cookie.
Yeah. 1, 2.
But you'd have to swallow it. It's going to start backing up.
Yeah.
That's the problem because it's like, it's going to like create like paste in your mouth.
And that's even paste in your mouth. So your mom would be really into it. So yeah, even if you got up early, went to bed late, and concentrated on doing this, you would have to eat a cookie every. Okay, maybe I couldn't eat 9,000.
All right, but I bet you could do some serious damage if you. Maybe not that rate, but you could definitely eat a couple of cookies a minute.
I will say this: last weekend, my kids were on February break, and my wife always takes them overnight. They stay in a hotel for like a staycation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their girl thing that they do. So I was alone, and the Girl Scout cookies came in, and remember we were talking about the Toastiers, the one that's. Tastes like French toast.
Okay.
I never had them before.
That's a Girl Scout cookie.
Yeah. My niece, who lives in Philadelphia, they had them.
Ooh.
So I'm like, I got to try them.
Philly gets everything, man.
They really do. But they were they're going out of business, those cookies. They're not coming back ever again. So I got them, and I tried one. Oh, my God.
That good.
Oh, what?
And they're not making them anymore?
This is the last time they're making them. It was like a cruel joke, but like, where have you been all my life? I must have eaten, just walking by the box and grabbing 20 cookies.
Yeah.
Throughout the day. Like, I ate the whole box in the day, and I reached in at like 9 o'clock to get one more, and they were gone. And I don't know what made me more sad. The fact that I unintentionally, unknowingly, individually ate an entire box of these cookies, or the fact that there were no more cookies to eat.
That empty box feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you would have enjoyed those last few cookies a little bit more if you knew it was your last one, you know?
And the fact that I...
This maybe slowed down a little.
I unknowingly ate a whole box of cookies by myself.
And you know they're going to bring them back.
I hope so, man. They were amazing.
I do feel like... Do they release them more often than they used to?
No, I think because now we have access to internet.
Okay.
It goes regionally. So, like, right now, it's local Girl Scout cookie time, but you have the ability to now buy them from Girl Scout troops across the country.
What a racket, man.
What? Yeah, it's a fundraiser
like
for
girls. They must have so much goddamn money.
It's a lesson in fundraiser for the Girl Scouts. Why is it a bad
thing? It's a lesson in glutton and greed.
Oh, my God.
Like, they must have a palace of a headquarters. Where is it, in Vegas?
Yeah, it's in
probably
Vegas.
Under the Wynn Hotel. Like the mob.
Also, if you have any kids that are still selling Girl Scout cookies, I need more. Right. I need my fix.
Are they coming back soon? Or are they done?
No, they're in the middle. I think we're towards transition? The end of local Girl Scout cookies.
And then we're transitioning into international cookie time?
I don't know. But my Twitter, at Duffy at WCMF. My Instagram, at Duffy on WCMF. I'm serious. I need a plug. And if you got it, I will buy them from your kid. I need to bet.
You're going to get inundated.
Good. That's what I'm looking for. Give me all the cookies. Because I'll just buy them and hold on to them throughout the rest of the year until we get to next cookie season.
So let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Is Girl Scouts like international? Like they have Girl Scouts like all over the world?
Oh, good question.
Like China.
Well, it says their headquarters are New York City. I don't know if they...
But they have like a European version where they also have Girl Scout
cookies?
Well,
so version would be different because, like, the Boy Scouts of America are American, but there's, like, different versions of what the Boy Scouts
but
would
I wonder,
be.
Like, do they sell the cookies over there?
It's a good question. Well, I mean,
maybe you can score some in the international market.
Ooh.
Girl Scouts is international through its membership in the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts.
Okay, so it's not the Girl Scouts.
But it's still kind of the same style.
I've never seen it.
In a lot of countries, it says.
I've never seen an international Girl Scout cookie, although we did learn last year that Girl Scout cookies can be different regionally because they use different bakeries in different parts of the country. So maybe there are like Chinese, Indian, English.
So maybe you could score some there.
Oh.
I mean, there might be some with this Ukrainian deal I'm hearing about.
What would a Ukrainian?
Rare Earth and Girl Scout cookies. You know, for some protection.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every end is a new beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the new beginning that will be happening in Orchard Park for Bills fans in 2 years will have a, I guess, somber end starting this season.
Yeah.
And if you are someone that wants to go and pay homage one last time to the castle that the Bills played in, it's going to cost you more than it has the last couple of years. And here's the thing. It ain't even the price increase that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Who is coming is also going to jack up what it's going to cost to go to this stadium.
So there's going to be like a rush.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Yesterday, your Buffalo Bills announced season ticket prices for the final season in Highmark Stadium are increasing.
Okay.
A year from opening day, the team is scheduled to kick off their first game in the new stadium across the street. And all season long, these final home games will be a pilgrimage to a place that opened in the early 70s and has housed the Bills for the majority of their existence.
It'd be like religion.
So if you want access to that, at least for the whole season, ticket prices are going up, according to the team, an average of 12% per seat
God
this year.
Damn, man. That's like a carton of eggs.
So outside of the club section, your tickets will run you anywhere for the season, $684 a seat to $2,303 a seat.
And that's like the face value of the ticket.
Yes. That's for 9 regular season games, any preseason games. So you get 10 games for that. And here's the thing.
So as a season ticket holder like you are, they're going to whack you 12% on
12% more than I paid last year on average. I haven't seen what my tickets are actually going to cost me for next season. Now, here's the thing. That sounds ridiculously expensive. It's still one of, if not the lowest ticket price in the NFL.
Okay.
Still may be the last time you can afford season tickets.
All right, we'll get to that. I got to say this does suck a little bit because it feels opportunistic on the Bills' part.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but they know. They know this is the you know, people.
They're going to take advantage.
People are going to want to, well, and the season ticket holders that decide that maybe they can't make one or two games will probably make that up pretty quick.
Yeah, but you're also now you're sticking it to the people that are just trying to get into the stadium for one last game. I mean, here's what sucks about it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there are any season tickets available to be purchased for folks that don't already have them.
I know for a long time there was a waiting list,
yes.
So I would assume it's still the same
way. So you've got to go in a secondary market to score your ticket.
Exactly, but what I'm getting at is like this 12%, it's not like, hey, if you want to be a season ticket holder, it's going to cost you more. It's you already have season tickets,
you're
give us more money.
Right. All right.
You know what I mean? Ah,
but that's not the problem. The
problem is, here's the thing. We all know that when the team goes across the street to the new stadium, the tickets are going to be way more expensive. Season ticket prices are going up across the street in a shocking way.
Yeah.
Right? So that means if you want in the new place, you're going to be spending more. The economical thing to do, whether you want to see a game before it gets more expensive or you want to pay one last respect to the stadium, is to go this year. But based on the increase in season ticket prices and one other factor, Kimmy, it looks like this might be the most expensive ticket season we've seen maybe of the last...
To date, yeah.
So there are three things, Tommy.
So what are the factors?
Okay. One, like we said, last year in the old stadium, folks are going to want to come back. And you're going to see people from across the country doing it.
Okay.
Right? Folks that grew up in Western New York that want to come home and watch one more game. Second factor... The Bills are really good,
right?
You were 3 points away from a Super Bowl berth. Your quarterback is an MVP. That sells tickets easy.
No. What's the third rail?
Here's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Every home game this season for the Bills is like a must-see game.
Oh, really?
At home this year, the Bills will face the Ravens, the Bengals,
the Yankees,
the Chiefs, the Dolphins, which always sells tickets, and the Super Bowl champion Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles are coming.
They have 9 regular season home games. 5 of them are the Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Dolphins, and Eagles.
So let me ask you this. Let's say you're going to go to one game.
Yeah.
What game do you pick? Because do you pick, like, those marquee games? Or how many people are going to want to be there for the last game of the season, no matter who's there? Because that's it.
Well, here's the
problem. It's like, walk out, the lights are off.
So you're right. That sounds awesome. Here's the problem with that. The Bills are going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So you don't know when the last game in the stadium's going to be.
You might have an idea by then, though, right? Like, last game of the season.
You take, like, the last regular season game ever there?
You might kind of know whether or not they'll be home again or not.
Well, the only way they would have no chance of being home is being the 7 seed. And if they're the 7 seed, we got bigger problems than this is the last game of the stadium. I mean, you know, if they're the 1, 2, or 3, there's a chance. I mean, one, they would definitely have an AFC.
One more game.
Well, one at least.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, they would have a home AFC championship if they would have to get there. If you're the 3 seed, I mean, you would have one home game guaranteed. You could have an AFC championship game at home, how everything works out. Like, it's going to get really complicated. You're right. That last regular season game would be the one you would want to circle on the calendar.
Right.
But that could be a game where Josh Allen takes one snap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They play the Saints, who are also coming to Buffalo that year, and nobody cares.
Right.
So, hey, wow, I got to touch the concrete one more time.
So it's going to cost you a ton, no matter what game you go to.
I would think
probably.
So. And further than that, just, you know, the matchups, to see those games, be in the building for those, they're going to be great games, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Dolphins, and Eagles. Kimmy, I'm going to guess at least 3 of those are going to be primetime games.
Oh, yeah.
Which increases.
Billy's got to be.
I mean.
The Super Bowl champs coming to town?
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens, I would also think, based on the 2 matchups the Bills had last year, is going to be a primetime game. The Bengals and Bills are always must-see TV.
You say the Chiefs are coming to
town?
Yeah,
but they're always that. CBS holds on to that in that 4:30 slot.
There's always. Usually every season, there's always 1 or 2, you know, 1 o'clock games that aren't really going to matter in the long run that you always think, like, well, if I'm going to go to a cheap game, if I just want to be in the building this season, that's the one to go to. And I don't think that exists this season.
Yeah, I don't think you're
like,
wrong.
Like, if you're just somebody that wants to get in there because it's the last time you'll be in Highmark Stadium, I don't know what game that would be for you.
So, like, as we talk about what the potential for prices are, again, 252 WCMF, the Bills announced that next season ticket prices will be going up 12%, which is pretty significant, right? And you have this gauntlet of amazing teams coming to Highmark Stadium. If I remember correctly, the highest price we saw for a ticket in the last couple of years was the Green Bay Packers primetime game coming to Buffalo, Aaron Rodgers' last season in Green Bay. And that was the highest regular season.
Right.
It was $525 in the door on Thursday.
Is that just because you get a lot of people wanting to see Aaron Rodgers?
Well, yeah, it was prime time. The Bills, that was the year that they were favored to win the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly. I mean, are we going to see ticket prices higher than that? $525 for the worst seat in the
house?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gracious. Let's say you wanted to go Super Chintz.
Okay.
Super Chintz at.
Super Chintz.
Is there a possibility after this season is over that the stadium's not ready and they got to play some preseason games in the old stadium?
Oh, if the stadium, they would have to play the whole season.
Yeah, I don't think they'd switch midway through.
Yeah, I mean, because you're going to need to knock that stadium down for parking.
Oh.
I mean, I guess it's not out of the question based on how the prices of things and how long things, but I got to tell you, man, every time I go to the stadium, week by week,
looking good.
Yeah,
it looks more like a stadium. It's insane. Right.
It was only a pit for so long.
I love how you asked that because of what happened with Innovator Field across the street.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're moving from Silver Stadium. Here it comes. Yeah. Wait a minute.
The sequel, one more time.
I guess it's not out of the question. I mean,
but that's a roll of the dice.
Yes, it is. Now, the good news, if you just want to see the Bills play, period, there are two potential games that maybe you can get cheaper tickets for outside of Orchard Park that are a drivable game.
Who you got?
The Bills play on the road this year, both the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's
but
a
those
fun town.
And those tickets can get expensive.
Mm. Yeah.
The ticket that might be the cheapest.
Fans. What's that?
Cleveland Browns.
Oh.
They're on the road against the Browns. If you just want to see Josh Allen play, a trip to Cleveland might be your most economical
choice.
What
about when they play the Patriots?
Going all the way to New England? That's a longer drive than you think.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's 6 hours.
That's farther. Probably,
yeah. I mean, Cleveland, if you're, you know, if you're flying, you get there in 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Straight 90 all the way, baby. Pew!
Mm-hmm. Bam. Well, that's exciting.
I mean, yes, but it's also, here's the thing.
I mean, the anticipation of the new stadium, the team is good. I mean, a lot to have fun with. Just going to cost you.
Yeah, we know a couple that went to a game in Cleveland last year. It was towards the end of the season, and I think that they paid $17 a ticket and were right on like the 50-yard line.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it was.
What's a Red Wings game?
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to justify spending money to watch Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, true.
So, look, I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more about this as we get closer to the 25-26 season.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, no matter how well the Bills do on the field this year, it's going to be really bittersweet. Because, like, that stadium that they're getting rid of, you grew up in that stadium, and unless you are, like, 70, 75, it's the only stadium you've ever known.
Yeah.
And this is the end of it. Mm. And it's not even like when they're done playing in that stadium, you'll be able to go back in and reminisce because they're going to knock it down.
Yeah.
So, like, now, best case scenario, if the Bills are the one seed and win all of their playoff games, you now, with the preseason game, you only have 11 more chances to get inside this building.
And I'm guessing you're going to get quite a show because everybody's coming back, right, as far as the team, the players.
I would think so.
Like, every schmuck's coming back.
I would assume they're going to do some like weekend of an all-stadium team of all the living best legends.
Wouldn't you have to?
Yeah,
right?
I would think.
Are we going to see this season stories about people trying to steal stuff out of this stadium?
Like, I'll be that guy.
Like, if it's not locked down, there's going to be people trying to like unscrew stuff, take stuff.
Were they going to sell stuff like they did with the old Yankee Stadium?
But I think there's going to be some.
Hardware.
Other theft. Yes.
Here's what I'm hoping. Mm. So I have my seat that I've sat in now for like 15 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will buy that seat from the Bills. If they give me the opportunity to buy my seats,
they'd have to.
Okay. If they don't, I'm taking that seat
you
out of the stadium.
How are you going to get out of
tools?
Watch me.
There are going to be people to try.
So when Cleveland, and I know it's
how are you getting it out? You can't bring tools in.
Okay.
You walk in with like a
no, yeah, you can. I'll give him my ticket. Oh, buddy, let's get the seat out of here. There's great video, and I know it's a different time and whatever.
Mm.
When the Browns left Cleveland in 94,
it's
the last game. The Browns players, they're circling the field, high-fiving, and you see these Browns fans unscrewing full.
Trying to rip stuff out.
No, they weren't trying. Kimmy, they unscrewed full benches
and
carried them out over their heads up the stairs. It's a beautiful scene, right?
I mean, it's passion for your team.
But here's the thing, man. There's this saying, right? Like, owners control the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Communities own the teams. And I subscribe to that idea. Mm-hmm. So, man, I've been going to the stadium since I was 4 years old. I will pay you if you give me the opportunity. But one way or another, that's my seat. That seat is coming with me.
Because I'm thinking the turf, all that stuff, they're going to cut it all up and sell it.
Oh, yeah, the turf, absolutely.
I mean, the seats, why not?
Yeah, no, okay, look, I'm saying.
Man, think of that, man. It's junk, and you're going to get premium money for that
seat. It's the last piece you'll ever have, though.
And it's going to live in my basement forever, and it's going to be great. Yeah, I don't know.
What are you going to attach it to the wall?
Yes, I already have a plan.
I'm sure you have a plan.
2 years ago, when it was definite that everything was happening, I went in before the game, like, you know, regular game, and I took a look at what it would take to get it, like, on my wall in my basement.
Why don't you put it outside?
The chair.
No, because then it's going to ruin the chair.
Yeah, you wouldn't
the
put
chair
outside.
Lived outside.
Yeah, but now it's an inside chair.
All right. Are you going to sit in it?
Yeah.
Like, would you sit in it and watch a game?
I already have where it's going to go, so it's in perfect spot.
But you have a comfortable couch.
Yeah, but that's my seat, man. You don't get it. You'll never get it.
No, but my ass don't get it either. Like, my ass needs comfort 24/7.
No, those seats are comfortable seats.
Bro, they're goddamn
chintz plastic. They're comfortable
for
the stadium,
okay.
But when you got a couch in front of you.
I hear they're full of heavy minerals and pesticides.
I'm done talking to you. You don't understand. And now guess what? You're not allowed to sit in my stadium seat that I either buy or steal.
I have not seen your man cave.
I've invited you over.
Kinda. You always invite me over when you know I can't come.
No, I invite you over knowing you won't come.
Oh, same thing.
Okay.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Tommy?
Yeah, buddy?
There are two kinds of people in this world.
Who that?
There are board game people, and there are folks who hate board game people.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the world of board game people, there are special kinds of psychos.
Yeah.
Folks who enjoy this board game that goes on forever, that test the limits of your friendship.
I think it's like the original board game.
Yeah, it might be. It's a game that has just as good a chance of ending with a table flipped over than folks getting up and getting a soda. And it's all anybody wanted to talk about in Rochester yesterday.
So what are we getting?
We got it already.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
Now has its own Monopoly.
Wow.
Yesterday, the official Rochester Monopoly, like approved by Hasbro, the company that owns it.
So it's all Rochester related.
You got it. Every single thing. And I know people are going to call me, I've seen it in Wegmans. No, that was Rochesteropoly. That was not Hasbro approved. That was
not official.
Fake-ass Monopoly.
This came from the big house.
You got it. And because, Tommy, like you said, it's Rochester Monopoly, all the properties on the board, Rochester. You have RIT, the Genesee River, Wegmans. Also, Kodak and the Xerox building, which must be the cheaper property.
Yeah.
The game is now available online and in stores. And if you go out and buy Rochester Monopoly, you are a psychopath who, for some reason, enjoys hours of pain and torture.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of the board games that exist, Monopoly is the most volatile, right?
Yeah, because it goes on forever. It's cutthroat. You know, the longer it goes, the more people get pissed off. Mm-hmm. It just sucks.
Kimmy, would you agree?
Yeah, I don't think I ever played a full game in Monopoly. I don't think my dad even, like, we had a stack of board games when we'd go on vacation, and he would just skip Monopoly. Like, we're not even bringing Monopoly. Screw that.
Because I bet you if you go down to, like, all these summer cottages, 50% of them have an open Monopoly game sitting out right now.
Still going right now.
Like, they just said, F it. We tried to play this all summer, and it never gets put away. It's either your point, you either trash it or it just sits there.
The phone number is 252-WCMF. Because there are board game people, grown-ass people who get together with their friends, will spend perfectly good nights playing.
They love it.
Yeah, all sorts of weird-ass games, right? There are families who will sit down and compete against each other. But Monopoly goes above and beyond that because it seems that Monopoly is the one board game that is most likely to end in a massive argument with yelling, screaming, and game pieces all over the floor. What I'm trying to figure out, 252-WCMF, what about Monopoly is so dangerous?
It's that whole cutthroat money, rent, ownership.
Is that what it is?
F you.
Okay.
You owe me.
Yeah, give me your money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're losing. You're going to lose any other board game you play. Like, you know, most people will lose. Why, when you lose Monopoly,
but I think,
you flip
out? Could lose because somebody else decides to target you kind of thing.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
They're taking your properties.
It's basically somebody gets to be the landlord.
Nope. Yeah.
And you're the renter.
You're right. I mean, look.
Oh, you may be going to jail, too.
Yep.
There is something about the game of capitalism that brings out the worst
in people.
That's
all it is. That's why I think it was the original game.
Yes. And, I mean, it's. But what's also frustrating about Monopoly, like when you get behind financially in Monopoly, no matter how hard you work, you just keep getting kicked in the scrot.
Yes.
Monopoly's a lot like life. So why would we want to do that for fun?
Yeah, because think like 70% of the people you're playing with are already behind on something in actuality.
Yes, you're right.
It's so like, I want to play a game of, my misery.
It's like, hey, you want to try that other new board game? Do I have cancer? Because that's what this is. Like the worst part of living. Let's make it a board game. Okay. Who can you play? I know you don't play board games,
no,
but if you were forced to play a game of Monopoly, who are you most likely to play a game of Monopoly with? Is this a family game or is this a friend game?
Oh, I think this is always I've only played with family.
As an adult, I would have to be dragged in by family.
Okay, yeah. So there is no friend. You do not have a friend, a good enough friend that could invite you over for Rochester Monopoly because this is a big deal.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And you would not want to go and check it out.
But I've been to people's houses where we've gone over for like whatever, and once those board games come out, I want to go home.
No, I'm with you on that.
I'm out. And they always try to suck you in, and I'm like, I can't do this.
Can I ask another question? Because I know you guys are out there, 252 WCMF. To you board game people, why all of a sudden did board games explode in popularity again over the last, like, 15 years?
Well, I thought all this retro stuff was coming back.
Well, no, because we're talking
games, but I think a lot of those, like, card games kicked it off. Like, the ones where you didn't really have to concentrate much. Like, there really isn't a winner in the game.
Oh, it's more of, like Cards Against Humanity kind
of thing? Yeah, it's just more of a thing you're doing while hanging out.
Well, no, but Kimmy, I mean, we have the biggest board game, like, game store in America, I think, in Millennium Games in Henrietta, right?
But like, I always kind of thought, like, the extreme board game people, like, they were addicted to one game. Like, they didn't play all the board games. Like, they were big in, like, a certain category of
game. Okay, so you're telling me board game people have one game they really, really
like?
Like,
the ones that are really into it and, like, compete in it, you know? Like, what's the... Settlers
of Catan or Catan, whatever they changed.
That kind of... game.
The one that Josh Allen and Dawson Knox and all the teammates play.
I would think like COVID probably had a little bit to do with it too. We were locked in for so long with your family.
But it was happening before that.
Oh.
Like there's a dad on my daughter's hockey team. Really, really nice guy. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot. But he's a huge board game guy. And once a year he has all of his like friends from college come over and they like spend the night at his house and they play board games for like 3 days.
Man, they did this in college?
Well, I guess it's like their bonding thing now. Like, they all get back together. Yeah. It's, you know, like, I guess.
We know a guy that's in radio that he just goes to board game conventions and plays these games and with his adult kids, and they travel.
Yes, like across the country for this. What? Why?
I don't get it.
Why? Man. Come on, guys.
You know what drives me the most crazy when it comes to board games is, like, the person that wants to play. Like, if we're going to play the board game, let's play.
Yeah.
I hate the person that brings out the board game and then, like, isn't paying attention. Like, it's taken forever to get back to your turn because, like, nobody's actually concentrating on the game. And it's like, why do we even do this? Why do we set it up? Let's play it. Let's get a winner in. Let's get it over with. I don't want to sit here waiting for my turn for 20 minutes.
We're just talking board games and Kimmy's ready to strangle somebody.
Yeah. I mean, this is like below puzzles.
I don't think I've ever done a puzzle in my life.
Bro, I couldn't do it. But either. I've never, I don't think I've opened up a puzzle box. And I know people that, like, they love that crap.
But I don't get the puzzle thing, because once you put it together, unless, like, you plan on framing it, which I guess you people do.
Also don't get, it's not your
you're
art.
You're just going to break it up and then put it back in the box.
You assembled art. Wow.
It's like framing a salad.
Yeah. I mean, and anybody can complete a puzzle if you give yourself long enough, right?
I mean, I don't know. I've never done a puzzle. Maybe it's harder than I think. I don't know.
But you'll get it eventually if you want to do nothing else.
I don't think you and I could put together any puzzle. Anything more than seven pieces, I don't think we're putting together.
You ain't leaving until you finish that puzzle.
252 WCMF. Yesterday, Hasbro, the official game company, released Rochester Monopoly. Thanks to the Rochester Museum of Play, all of the pieces on the board, properties on the board, are Rochester related. That's the only thing I'm actually interested in with Rochester Monopoly. What properties are worth
what? Made
what?
The cut?
Exactly. Well, not only what make the cut, but because, you know, there are more expensive properties, right?
Yeah. Right.
They only revealed, like, on the news, a few of the local places that made the board.
Yeah, because there have to be some bad ones, right? Like, that's part of it.
The lowest one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, all right, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Between the businesses here in Rochester, because they have businesses in there.
Yeah.
What would be, in your opinion, the most expensive, the park place of businesses in Rochester Monopoly?
I mean, it had to be Wegmans. Right. It's the gold standard.
And there's two. There's Park Place and what's the other one, the other expensive one? Doesn't matter.
There would be a real board.
So what's the second one?
Oh, Paychecks.
All right. I had the same, too. Is it an insult if Kodak and the Xerox Tower are cheap-ass properties in this board?
Well, I mean, they you know, they're kind of shelves of themselves, so yeah.
But, like, they had to sign off on this, right? I mean, intellectual property. So, like, did they ask, like, hey,
where are we going to be, though?
Where are the board? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
It says in the story that the Xerox Tower is on the... I didn't think the Xerox Tower still existed.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of we know it as a Xerox Tower,
but it changed name.
Officially,
I thought it was a bank Xerox Tower.
Well, no, I'm saying the tower itself is not called.
Yeah,
I
think it's called a bank now or something.
Oh yeah, a bank tower. Yeah, you're right.
Bank One Tower. I don't know.
Kimmy, will you Google? Wait, do they have the game came out yesterday and it's already outdated?
Yes.
Did they start this when it was still the Xerox Tower?
Major move too soon.
Because
is George Eastman's house on it?
Oh, good question. I don't know. They only gave like four or five what the properties.
That's a landmark.
Right? Yeah, that's a good one.
The old Xerox building in downtown Rochester is now called Innovation Square.
Oh, they changed it for Bank One.
Oh, wow. Bank One went bad?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Got bought out by Bank Two.
Now they're Bank Three.
Wow, it happened so fast.
So wait a minute. This game already has an outdated property on it from Rochester? We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. Damien writes us. Okay, you already know Damien's a board game guy.
Yes.
Because his name is Damien.
That's a border.
He writes, board games are as fun as you make them. If you're a jerk, you'll ruin the board game experience. If you're there to have a good time, you'll have fun doing it. Just don't go in with a negative expectation.
Okay.
Shut up, Damien.
Okay, even the people that are having fun really aren't having fun.
No, I mean, there are people who have fun.
But you're really not. You're just a shell of yourself.
No, there are people that enjoy this and look forward to
it. But you're just a zero of a human being.
Okay, Sorry. That's a little bit harsh. Yeah.
Well, there's worse numbers than zero, isn't there?
No, there aren't. That's why Bank One went out of business. Now that's why they're Bank Three. You're an idiot. Tommy, operator of Bank Zero. Slogan, there's worse numbers than zero. That's why nobody goes into his bank.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.